And greetings, friends. Welcome to Tomorrow's World program, where you will gain precious insights into today's news and the real future of this world. My friends, why are so many people turning away from religion nowadays? Why are the agnostics and the atheists gaining increasing respectability? Picture the millions who do go to church. They recite prayers. They recite responsive readings. They clap their hands and sing songs. But are their personal lives really that different from non-churchgoers? Has their Christianity really made a difference in the way they live and in the nations they inhabit? Please think about it. Most of these people say they are followers of Christ, but which Christ did they really worship? Which Christ do you actually worship? You need to think this through. You need to be absolutely sure. Stay tuned. My friends, most of the horrifying wars in modern times have been waged between professing Christian nations. In World War I, millions of professing Christian men in Germany were fighting and killing American, Canadian, British, and French churchgoers. In World War II, the same thing occurred on an even larger scale, and professing Christian ministers on each side blessed their troops. So which side was God really on? One of the most poignant wars in history was the American Civil War. In this dreadful conflict, thousands of young church-going men from each side were often slaughtering members of their own professing Christian denomination from the other side in brutal hand-to-hand combat. It was just awful, and it produced scenes and memories that will never be forgotten. My friends, it was the exact opposite of everything Jesus Christ of Nazareth taught and stood for. Notice what Jesus Christ actually taught. Turn in your Bible. Here's what we find out what Christianity is all about. Turn in your Bible to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. That's part of the Sermon on the Mount, as we call it. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Turn to Matthew 5 in your Bible. Go get a Bible. Check up on me. Prove these things. I don't ask you to believe me. You believe the words in your own Bible, my friends. Do that. Believe the Bible. Matthew 5, verse 43. Here's what Jesus actually said. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. But you say, our church teaches that killing in war is all right. Speaking directly of warfare, Jesus Christ said, and let's turn again to what Jesus Christ actually said. Let's turn to the Bible. Let's find out what Christianity, real Christianity, authentic Christianity, original Christianity was all about. John chapter 18, here Pilate is asking Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? And in verse 34, he said, are you speaking for yourself? And Pilate answered, John 18, verse 35, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? And now Jesus answered. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. Get it? If Christ's kingdom were really of this world, yes, his servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Of course, this modern and this supermodern idea of Jesus is subject to many and often contradictory interpretations. People are getting completely away from what the Bible actually said. Notice what the Apostle Paul warned us about, my friends. Turn with me in your Bible again. Check up on me. See what the Bible actually said. And if you really think it through, it may shock some of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And you atheists and agnostics out there realize that true Christianity is not necessarily the Christianity you may see around you in this modernism that's taking over the name of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, notice verse 1. Paul wrote, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." The Christians were to be clean and pure, to be the affianced bride of Christ. "But I fear," Paul wrote, "lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes..." Yes, false preachers began to come along then. Thousands more came along during what we call the Dark Ages and changed the whole nature of Christianity. "If he who comes preaches another Jesus." Oh, another Jesus. Yes, Paul talked about different ideas of Jesus that would begin to come in. "Another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel," a whole different concept of what the gospel is about, "which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it," he told the Corinthians. And indeed, as time went on, many did put up with it and began to call many strange ideas Christian, which were not Christian at all. Continuing here with Jesus' thought, or Paul's thought, in verse 13, "For such are false apostles." He talks about these false ministers who would arise. "Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers," that is, Satan's ministers, his ministers, "also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." They say, oh, you don't need any works, but their end is going to be according to their works. Again, my friends, super modern Christendom is in tremendous confusion. There are over 500 competing denominations and sects all calling themselves Christian today, yet they have dozens of different ideas and doctrines, ideas about God, ideas about the Bible, ideas about Christianity that are often totally opposite from what the Bible actually says. You need to understand. Before continuing, I want to offer you absolutely free an eye-opening booklet. You need this booklet. This is an eye-opening booklet which will give you shocking but well-documented. It's documented here from the Bible and history all the way through. Well-documented facts about this awful confusion and modern Christendom. This booklet is entitled, as you see, Satan's Counterfeit Christianity. It spells out what is really happening to modern Christianity and what the result is today. This shocking booklet, Satan's Counterfeit Christianity, will truly open your eyes. So write or call today to request your free copy, absolutely free, of this vital booklet. Just ask for the booklet on counterfeit Christianity. That's all you need. Call now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-718-4800. That number once again is 1-800-718-4800. Call now. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227.
With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now, my friends, back to our topic. Which Christ do you actually worship? Turn again to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where we were. Follow me in your Bible. Check up on me. Prove these things out of your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, Paul wrote, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." He talks about another gospel. He talks about another Jesus. My friends, the key to getting this matter straight is to prove to yourself the absolute inspiration of this book, the Holy Bible. For the Bible is the only reliable source we have to really understand what true Christianity is all about. There are all kinds of traditions, there are ideas that have been preserved, but in your heart, most of you know, they have ideas, they have traditions, they have extra-biblical sources that were often rejected by the early Christians and early leaders. They cannot be relied upon. This is the only reliable source. Study this source. Prove things from this source. And Jesus himself told us what to do. Notice Luke chapter 4 and verse 4 in your Bible, the direct instruction from Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Luke 4 and verse 4. Here's what Jesus said. "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And the only written word of God back then was the Old Testament. So we have to read the Old Testament, and we have to let the New Testament magnify the Old Testament, which the Bible tells that it was to do. It doesn't do away with it. It simply magnifies some of the principles and laws and examples that are there. Picture faithful men down through time who gave their lives to preserve the Bible. You've heard of some of their names, Tyndale and other men. God has given us access today to millions of Bibles. We just need to believe what the Bible actually says. Let this book be your friend. Drink into this Bible. Study this Word of God. Understand it and prove things. Then you will understand the Word of God. Then you will understand the revelation the great God gives to us of what the purpose of life is and what Christianity is all about. Turn to John chapter 10 now, my friends. John 10 in your New Testament. Again, directly the words of Jesus Christ. Here, the Jews were challenging him for saying that he was the Son of God. "And how do you, being a man, make yourself God?" they were saying. And in verse 34, Jesus answered, "Is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? If he called them gods," this is John 10, verse 35, "to whom the word of God came, and the scripture," Jesus said, notice, "the scripture cannot be broken. Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you're blaspheming because I said I'm the Son of God?" You see, in that Old Testament passage, it implied that man had God-like capacity. He was like God. Sometimes that term is used literally for God or for great judges and so on. He said, "The word of God cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken." One scripture does not contradict the other when you really understand the meaning and get the context. It does not. It's inspired from God. This is the mind of your Creator. Now notice what the Apostle Paul was inspired to write. Turn to 2 Timothy, if you would. 2 Timothy now in your New Testament and beginning in verse 12. Here Paul is telling this young evangelist, he said, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Most of the mainstreamers today, the modernists, they don't suffer persecution. They just go along with this world. They don't stand up for anything, and they just go along. But those who stand up for the Word of God will often get persecuted, and that's true. "Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Will men get further from the truth in our age? Yes, they will. "But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood," he tells Timothy, "you have known the holy scriptures." The only scriptures Timothy had were the Old Testament. "You have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture. So here God tells us in his word, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. or is God breathed, came right out from our Creator and God. And my friends, many of you have proved that. I have proved that. Prophecy after prophecy about major nations like ancient Egypt, ancient Babylon, ancient Tyre have been fulfilled right down to the letter. Others are being fulfilled. Many things can show that this book was inspired by an outside Creator, the great God who gives us life and breath. And we need to understand it. You need to study it more. Horrifying events are building up toward the end of this age. You need to understand. God tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You don't need some other book, this book by this man or this woman prophetess or somebody else. You don't need that. You need the Bible. It's fully able to give you the whole understanding this passage shows very clearly. My friends, imposters did come in to the professing church during the Dark Ages, and they completely changed professing Christianity. They changed from the original ideas that Christians had, who believed in what Jesus taught. They were circumcised Jews primarily at that time. They had the Word of God. They had the Ten Commandments. And they followed Jesus' teaching to live by every word of God. That is the early Christians among them. And of course, they knew that Christ magnified God's law. He didn't do away with it. Notice Matthew 5. Go back again to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. And let's begin here in verse 17. Do you not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets? Jesus said, don't think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Christ didn't come to do away with God's law. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least commandments... Think about this, my friends. Whoever breaks even one of the least commandments, which commandment do you think is the least? You think the fourth commandment, the commandment about Sabbath, is the least? The commandment about killing? The commandment about marriage, where Christ tells us that marriage is binding between a man and a woman, and you're not to divorce and remarry, except on very limited circumstances. Otherwise, you're committing adultery. Which command is watered down in our society continually? Jesus said, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. That is, if he even gets there. But whoever does and teaches them, that is, even the least of the commandments, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Not the kingdom in heaven, the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then he tells them, you're not only not to murder, you're not to hate. You're not to hate your enemy. And then he says a little later here in verse 27, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you'll not commit adultery. No, you're not commit adultery. But I say, Jesus said, that whoever looks on a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And yet so much of our society is based on advertising with semi-naked women selling everything from toothpicks to cabin cruisers and airplanes. What happened to the kind of Christianity Christ taught? If this genuine Christianity were actually practiced today, there would be no crime, there would be no war, there would almost be no divorce, broken homes, fatherless children, and all the terrible ills that we have today. Yet this is the Christianity which Jesus Christ actually taught. Check it out in your own Bible. A Christianity based upon living by every word of God. Christianity based upon the Ten Commandments as Jesus lived them and magnified them. This kind of Christianity will be actually taught and practiced again in tomorrow's world when Christ returns as King of Kings. Again, my friends, be sure to call us or write us immediately to request your free copy of this powerful booklet, Satan's Counterfeit Christianity. This eye-opening booklet will really help you understand how professing Christianity got off the track. No wonder people are confused and are searching for genuine understanding to life's problems. So call now and request a free copy of this vital booklet. It's documented. It's shocking. It's entitled Satan's Counterfeit Christianity. It will open your eyes. It really will. Call now. Just request the booklet on counterfeit Christianity. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-718-4800. That number once again is 1-800-718-4800. Call now. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227.
With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now, my friends, back to our topic. Which Christ do you worship? Finally, my friends, be sure to think through what you should actually do if you want to be a genuine Christian. Let's find out what the Bible really says. Here's the instruction in the first inspired sermon on the New Testament day of Pentecost. Turn to Acts chapter 2 in your Bible. Here's what was instructed to the early Christians. Acts chapter 2, verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What should you do when you realize you've been wrong? What should you do if you genuinely want to have God's Holy Spirit, part of God's very nature living within you and helping you overcome, helping you keep God's word, helping you live as Christ lived? Here's what you do. Then Peter said, "Repent." The first thing, and this is often left out, or if it isn't, if it's mentioned today in today's religion, it's simply watered down. Repent means not only to be sorry, my friends, but to be so sorry that you turn around and go the other way. Deeply change, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the authority of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's very nature. We receive the love of God, the faith of God, the wisdom of God through His Spirit. The character of God is implanted, impregnated within us through the Holy Spirit. But you're to repent and you're to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Sin, what is sin? 1 John 3 and verse 4 says, "Sin is the transgression of God's law. You have broken the Ten Commandments." That's what sin is. You must repent of breaking God's law. You must repent of hating, of stealing, of committing adultery, of lusting, of all these things. Turn around and go the other way and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Yes, my friends, you're called today, many of you. I hope you'll understand. I hope you respond. Jesus said, again, back in Luke 4:4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You and I must surrender to let Christ live His life in us, to live by every word of God, every word, not water it down. Notice back in Galatians in your New Testament, chapter 2 and verse 20. Here the Apostle Paul gives the best one-verse summary I know of true Christianity, the real Christianity of Christ. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I," which is not the old self, "but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Christ lives His life in us. And God tells us in Hebrews, as we've told you so often, Hebrews 13, verse 8, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He must live in you that same obedient life. Through the Holy Spirit, He'll come into you if you really give your life to God. It tells us in James chapter 1, turn to the book of James chapter 1 here, and beginning in verse 22, that we need to act. Don't just think about it. Many of you have followed Mr. Ames and me on the program. You've seen Richard Ames. You've seen me. You've seen the truths we've given you. You've seen the prophecies that are not explained on any other program as clearly and thoroughly and specifically as you get on this program. Why? There is a great God inspiring this program. You need to act on the truths we've been giving you. In James 1, verse 22, God's Word says, "Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." My friends, if you've been watching Richard Ames and me for some time and you wish to act on this precious truth you've been given, be sure to call the toll-free number on the screen and tell the operator that you would like a visit with someone from this work. For we have ministers or trained representatives from all over the world. So write us or call us and give the operator your phone number, and our representative will call you and arrange a visit at a time and a place convenient for you. Then you can discuss your Bible questions, your personal questions, with a true servant of God. We have nothing to sell, and you will not be pressured to do anything, to buy anything, or to join anything. But you may wish to inquire about meeting with other Christians who genuinely believe the Bible. That's up to you. So call now. Just speak slowly and give the operator your phone number and how you may be reached. And again, be sure to call to request a free copy of this absolutely vital booklet, Counterfeit Christianity. And tune in every week, my friends, to learn more about God's purpose in world affairs and in your life. On this program, you'll gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-718-4800. That number once again is 1-800-718-4800. Call now or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227. To view today's program, order the free literature offered, or for more information on today's vital subject, visit us online at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.